All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, I'm Alice Saplin, and welcome to episode 3 of Double Tap, Audio Boom's official gaming podcast. This week, I will be sharing with you interviews from this year's May and October MCM Comic Cons in London.
Hello there, this is Batman. Gonna be kicking some serious ass in there and taking names.
This is what happened when Audio Boom went to MCM Comic Con in London.
I found Chewbacca here at Comic Con. How are you? Are you enjoying Comic Con? I'm here at Comic Con with some of the inhabitants of Middle-earth.
Hi, I'm Bilbo Baggins.
Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thror, king under the mountain.
Keely.
And Keely, at your service.
My sign says free hugs.
And how's that going?
It's going really well.
There's a lady here that wants to give
some girl's ready here for a hug. I've already given hundreds.
Oh.
I even got a kiss from a guy though.
I hope you die in a fire.
Episode 1 of Double Tap, you would have heard Nolan North confess that he gets beaten by his son quite frequently at video games. Well, John Noble, who recently played the Scarecrow in the Arkham Knight video game, has a similar problem.
You need to protect her, but buried deep down is the inevitability that you will one day fail.
I've been baffled by my son playing games.
What does he play?
I don't know. I'm going back to probably about 10 years ago. He used to get me to buy these games, and I would try and watch him, but I didn't know what he was doing.
Jessica DeChico, who played Lumina in Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy VII, and Olette in Kingdom Hearts, has said that she's keen to learn more about playing video games.
I do appreciate the gaming world, and I have... I'm friends with this guy, Mark Rubin, who is he's like the EP of Call of Duty. He's actually retired now, but I met him at this like dinner event, and I'm like, well, who better to, teach me how to play, show me all the video games that are out right now. But he has showed me Ghosts and just a ton of other games. And so I've been, I'm really curious to learn more and to play some more.
She also spoke about the differences between animation and video game voice acting.
Yeah, there's definitely a switch in the tone. And I think just going from original animation to video games, they're such different acting styles. Video games are very like real and they're played a little flat, which I really like. It's a different type of challenge. I mean, of course, Lumina, that character was like not as flat as like Lightning, say.
What do you want now?
I've come to help you remember what you've lost. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? You woke up from your crystal sleep with God's voice in your ear. He said you had to be the savior.
But it's really fun to have as an actress to have that challenge to go from something like Flame Princess and Adventure Time to like the Final Fantasy world. It's fun. You get to see all these different perspectives as an actress.
Don't ever mess with me again.
I think I have a crush.
Felicia Day is known for many things, including The Guild, her Twitch streams, and Co-Optitude. In May, she spoke about women in geek culture, including gaming, and the positives that can come from controversies such as Gamergate.
I think that whenever you challenge someone's paradigm about what the truth of something is, then you're going to have people who are inflexible and not able to change their perception and feel that any judgment or trying to change a world or a fandom is a reflection on judging them as people. The thing about geeks in geek culture is that we really all feel very passionately about what we love, and we feel ownership over it, especially gaming. We, by definition, project ourselves into our gaming world as ourselves. We are You know, we're not just watching a character go through a movie. We are in that world performing the actions in a weird psychological way. So, you know, I think you see a lot of resistance, especially in that world, to people saying this is not, you know, I want to belong in this world and I don't feel like I fit in and I need things to maybe change to accommodate diversity of viewpoints. I would not say that anything that's happened has been good for the image of gaming, to be honest with you, but I think you have a very small minority of people who happen to be very loud and think they have access to people because the way the social media is, you have 10 times as many people pushing back against that. And really that probably foments a lot more change because people are feeling more supported by the majority and can be encouraged to be a gamer without you know, being shamed about it.
Twitch has recently started to give many different gamers a voice and has also included the rise of girl gamers. We spoke to cosplayer Kelly Jean back in May about how she got into gaming and started off by asking her to define girl gamers.
Yeah, it's a pretty arbitrary term. I mean, it's just girls that play games. They don't really need to be called girl gamers, but there we go. Well, I got into Twitch because I really liked League of Legends and I wanted to be able to connect not only with my community, which follow me for cosplay, but the gaming community that is fans of League. And I do play other games too, so that is also the case. So it's nice to be able to find people that also appreciate cosplay but are interested in like the gaming side of things too. When I was little, we got I think it was called an M82, which was a very specific version of a SNES. And then from that, we went on to get PlayStation and N64. Like, I had three younger brothers, so we had consoles everywhere. And then for a period of time, I think the last console I personally saved up for when I was a kid was the GameCube. I had a break, and then I got a 360 a few years ago for Borderlands 2. And then I moved from console to PC gaming, mostly because of League of Legends, because I tried to play League on my laptop. It was bad.
Dark Souls 3 is out next March, and we spoke to the brand manager about what you can expect.
And I'm with Phil, the brand manager for Dark Souls. So tell me a little bit about it's Dark Souls 3.
Yes. Well, it's the third in the trilogy. It's the pinnacle of the Dark Souls series, really. And for this one, for the fans, Miyazaki-san is back, who is now the creative director, but he's obviously the creator of Demon Souls and Dark Souls. And he went off and did Bloodborne with Sony, but now he's back to work on Dark Souls 3. So this is the ultimate Dark Souls game.
And what can people expect from this game?
A lot more challenging combat, but probably the most rewarding game you'll play. And it's all built for new gen. So it's the first true new gen Dark Souls, which is really exciting. So it looks amazing, sounds amazing.
Anything you can kind of let us know about story or about, you know?
No. From Software are well known for keeping the story very enclosed. They do that because they want the fans to experience it, and as marketeers, it's very hard to get any information out. So it's based in a beautiful apocalyptic world. So we'll just have to leave it at that and people can find out for themselves.
So what was the verdict on the vibe, attractions and costumes this year?
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
I liked watching just everyone's dressing out, everyone's cosplay is really interesting.
It's proper joy.
It's just the expression of how we can dress up and just express ourselves through outfits and just meet new people and just have a very good time.
Have you enjoyed today?
Yes.
No, why not?
I'm working.
You can listen to the in-depth coverage, exclusive backstage interviews, and all the reaction right here on the MCM Comic Con channel on Audio Boom.
Everything is awesome.
And now it's time for the weekly gaming news with Jamie.
Fergal Gara, the managing director of PlayStation in the UK and Ireland for the last 4 years, has announced that he is going to resign from the company. Sony said that the executive, whose professional roots were actually in retail, has decided to pursue a new professional venture. Warwick Light from PlayStation's Nordic and East Europe region has been announced as his successor. The Kickstarter campaign working towards a movie based on the classic arcade game Dragon's Lair has now been cancelled. But don't worry, the project itself is not yet at an end. An update posted on Kickstarter this week confirmed a stronger, more valiant campaign will resurface next week on Indiegogo. And with Thanksgiving in the US comes a wealth of freebies on mobile games, including on Tomb Raiding Adventure Lara Croft Go. It's getting a free expansion called The Shard of Life, where you'll be able to take Lara traversing across 26 levels in search of the titular shard on both the iOS and Android edition.
This week, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Pete Gold to have a chat. Pete voiced foul-mouthed gangster Hoxton in Payday the Heist and Payday 2. He also has his own Audioboom channel, Hoxton on Demand, where he takes fan requests to be voiced in character. I chatted to him about his time on Payday.
Hoxton is a sweary Sheffield gangster, and they created a backstory for him. And my understanding was that he got the nickname Hoxton because he got busted there when he was quite young. And so his kind of prison name was Hoxton, even though Hoxton is in East London and he's from Sheffield. I think they wrote the Sheffield into it because that was the accent I adopted in my audition. And I think they only hired me because I really committed to the shouting. In the brief for the audition, they said, there's a lot of shouting and swearing in this game in quite tense hostage scenarios. What you supply in your audition, you will have to replicate in the session. So I went into the audition all guns blazing and shouted my head off. And I think on that basis, they went, yeah, this guy can shout. Let's hire him. And then strangely, in the first recording, I sort of recorded two hours of it. And they went, yeah, it's great. Lovely. Thanks. And they listened back to it and compared it to the demo and went, it's not shouty enough. Can you please do it all again? But really shout yourself raw. So I did.
So you lost your voice in the process of being Hoxton, I guess.
Yeah, I did.
After the first two-hour recording, my voice wasn't quite the same for a fortnight afterwards.
Yeah. So why do you think you adopted the Sheffield accent when you auditioned?
Well, I was brought up there. So most of my childhood was spent in Sheffield. And I think the brief said, you know, make sure this is an accent you can replicate kind of thing. So I'll go for the accent I'm most comfortable with outside of my normal speaking voice, and that was Sheffield.
So what do you enjoy about playing Hoxton?
What's not to enjoy, really? I get to show off and shout and wave my arms around in a recording studio, and I get to improvise a bit as well, which is very unusual in most voiceover work. Normally you get a script, you stick to the very letter of the script, and you do as you're told. But in this, they kind of go, well, we'll take your lead on this. Say whatever a sweary northern Sheffield gangster would say. I've got lines, obviously. It is all scripted for me, but, you know, at the same time, the guys at Overkill will go, okay, that's great, now just go for it and freestyle. So that's really fun.
Would you want to play Hoxton again?
I'd happily play Hoxton until they're utterly fed up to the back teeth of hearing me shout in a Sheffield accent.
What do you make of the fan reaction? Because obviously you do the Hoxton on Demand stuff on Audioboom. Lots of people requesting for you to shout various things as Hoxton
yes.
for them. So what do you make of that?
I think a couple of people tweeted me and said, oh, would you please do this, this and this? And I kind of went, yeah, all right, yeah, why not? Go on, that'd be a nice thing to do. And now I actually struggle to keep up with it. I don't get to do it as often as I should. And so I kind of clear the backlog once a month, and there's generally 80 to 100 recordings to do.
All right, Hoxton here. Nipper is the best dog in the world.
And as you say, the Audioboom channel has, you know, I frequently get emails saying, your boom has been played 1,000 times. And I go, really? Which one is it? And it's just something that says, happy birthday, Jeremy.
This birthday wish might be a little late, but Stephen wanted me to say happy birthday. So happy fucking birthday.
I think people just like hearing. It's a bit like Siri, isn't it? The most people on their iPhones will get Siri to say daft things. I've actually had a couple of marriage proposals, not proposing to me, but asking their girlfriends to marry them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, what, would you say that was the weirdest thing you've ever got requested.
Easily the weirdest thing that's ever happened. And then the guy very sweetly, he basically proposed to her in-game. I don't understand how these things work, but he loaded the clip into the game and played it in through her headphones. And she totally freaked out. And he recorded the whole thing and sent me the sound clip back of her sort of screaming, going, oh, my God.
Hey, Sabrina, listen up. Hoxton here. James has a message for you. He wanted me to ask you to marry him. You better say yes.
Holy shit! This isn't a joke. What the fuck?
But what a cool thing to have helped someone propose to his girlfriend. I'm delighted.
Did you?
Well.
Huh?
Well.
Yes?
And what would you say would be the difference between video game voice acting as opposed to other forms of acting and voice acting?
Each different type of job has a very different set of skills. Commercials, for example, obviously require a lot of precise timing. Very often the client's written 40 seconds worth of copy, but they've only paid for 30 seconds of airtime. So you have to squeeze it all in without making it sound rushed and while also getting behind all the different words that, all the different adjectives and selling it in the right way and all of that. But with voice acting for video games, I think probably the only tricky bit is keeping the character consistent across different recording sessions, different times of day, different months. I mean, it can be 6-9 months gap between recording. And obviously, they've got plenty of stuff they can play you back to help you get back into character. But you've then still got to keep consistent over the next 2 or 3 hours worth of recording. And you might be in gunfire. You might be being electrocuted. You might be whispering so as to avoid being spotted. So there needs to be like a preset in your mind as to, okay, press the Hoxton button right now. We're Hoxton. And off you go.
Do you play video games yourself? Have you played anything else?
Ashamed to admit, I'm not a gamer at all. I have had a little go at Payday. I was completely rubbish at it. I spent most of the time shooting civilians and walking into walls. In my 20s, I was into gaming, but that was 20 years ago. So the interface has come on a lot in the last 20 years, and it's no longer press the up arrow to go up, which is what I was used to. So just the logistics of maneuvering myself around the environment were apparently too much for me. And so, no, I haven't had a very thorough go at Payday.
What would you say would be your ideal role?
I don't know. I really enjoy Hoxton. Hoxton's fun for me because he's violent and aggressive and angry and all of the things that I'm not. So you get to explore your alter ego. That's fun. Something funny. There's quite a lot of humour in Hoxton as well. I enjoy that. Something funny, something with comic timing, something with, I don't know, something musical. I am a sort of amateur musician, and so I enjoy singing and writing songs, and something with that might be cool.
How about a Payday musical?
Payday the musical. There you go. I would write that. I would totally write that. It is on my... thank you for the idea. It's on my bucket list, actually, is to write a musical. Maybe that's where I should start.
Well, maybe you can convince other people to watch musicals.
If anyone else has got an idea for a musical that would sell, I'm open to suggestions.
Well, you can bring the musical and the gaming community together.
Maybe we could do that. There's already song titles popping into my head.
I think we've struck gold here. So what advice would you have for somebody wanting to get into voice acting?
I think the internet is your friend these days. It's changed a lot since I started. And there are now lots of websites that will enable pretty much anyone to post audio onto them and say that they're a voiceover. You have to be careful of saying that you're a voiceover when you haven't had that much experience. So there's more to it than just reading aloud. There are training courses you can go on. I mean, I can't personally recommend any. But if you have a look on social media, there are lots of forums for professional voiceovers. There's a thing called the Voiceover Network, which sort of aims to help people who want to get into the voiceover business, provide them with training and resources, and existing voiceovers, it provides them with plenty of training and resources and sort of discussion forums and advice. So that's quite a useful resource. I think the thing to do is keep plugging away at it, and you probably have to do quite a lot of stuff for free to get experience, and just make sure that your demo is really, really good and that it accurately reflects what you can really do in front of a microphone under pressure. It's very easy to put together a demo that sounds great, but then when you have to do it with a client looking at his stopwatch next door, you might crumble. So get some experience and practice under your belt first.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.
This is Deucalion, and you're listening to Audio Boom. I am the Demon Wolf.